All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Penny Hardaway had a press conference earlier today in advance of their exhibition on Monday against Alabama in Huntsville. By the way, sounds like Grant Nelson not going to go.
No, so, get the stash, dude.
Yeah. Definitely their second best player.
Oh, he's a stud.
You know, that's...
I mean, we didn't, you know, no RJ
straight,
Davis
yeah.
against UNC, but... You still like it. It's still more of a test, Johnny, what those guys got than anything you would have faced, you know, going against a Lemoine or a CBU, with all due respect. It's more beneficial.
Exactly. So he also talked about Tyreek Smith. And, you know, it's the story that I know you certainly enjoyed to discuss. We've had a great time talking about it.
No, I am curious to hear what Penny had to say about it, because I'm sure he'd like to put this whole thing to bed and never talk about it again.
Yeah. He said, I think that in this era, you have to understand that these young men are going to have situations where they're going to need some time. There's so much pressure, you know, with NIL, with playing time, with family members, with all kind of stuff happening. And he came to me asked for a couple, like, personal days, and I gave them to him. And then that turned into people not seeing him at practice, and then it just became a wildfire. But, you know, he never once told me he was quitting. He just asked for personal days. And that's what I stated from the beginning. But it turned into he's leaving and all this extra stuff that's going on. And that's just the society that we're in. And he understands that now.
Yeah, you have to take the ski mask off because it's rubbing against your beard and we can hear it.
I apologize.
So it's distracting me from this Penny quote. Thank you.
And that's just the society that we're in. And he understands that now. Every decision that we make, it's going to be under a microscope. And you have to prepare for that. So is it me that has the ski mask or is it Boog? That's what I would ask. That's what I would ask you. But that's what Penny had to say about the Tyreek Smith situation. It's just the society that we're in, Jason.
When they do White Kings of Comedy, you will have a chance.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Me and Gary Owen?
Yes. You should really give it a shot.
Stand-up is different. Stand-up's very tough.
Now Boog, it may be outside at 2, but by the time you get done.
Well, is he going to have a water can for me? We could maybe do some business.
Water can and a ski mask, apparently.
We could do some business, man. I'm telling you, I'm here to help.
You know, to hear him have to talk about family members and influences and everything else, it's unfortunate, right? Because what you'd like to be talking about is how good your backcourt looked and how much better your frontcourt needs to look against Alabama on Monday. That's what big-time college basketball programs are doing at this time of year. And so I lament the fact that we're here and talking about these sorts of things and new characters in terms of influence with the program. But, you know, Penny, you've got to acknowledge it and do your best to stamp it out. Now, you wrote a column, and it did. I mean, that the guy was gone. Now he's back. At one point, it did look like he was out of here. I do, looks like, Penny, you're on your way to settling this. And hopefully this won't be a distraction going down. But I do. I mean, I would be lying to you if I didn't have a fear or concern that with this being so public that it won't already create ripples. What happens when Tyreek Smith's not starting? Or what happens when Nicholas Jourdain is starting behind him and is, you know, making so much less and producing more, and now he's mad and his people are saying he's not getting enough? Can't you see so easily us being down that road?
Yep.
Yeah. And that's what you were trying to avoid in year 7. And so, no, it's not encouraging. It doesn't have to mean you're headed for a dumpster fire. But it certainly, again, I go back to, you have a new AD in here. You have a new assistant AD in Tim Duncan that knows Penny Hardaway very well, and we've talked about getting the best version of Penny. You know, you do that by minimizing distractions and focusing on basketball, and it's unfortunate that we can't and Penny can't do that right now.
Right.
You know, that you're being asked these questions. Who's this, and what's going on with Tyreek? That's unfortunate, but again, doesn't mean you're not going to go out there and get what you need to get out of this final exhibition with Alabama,
yeah.
And I'll be real honest with you. Man, the faster we can get to the start of the season, the better off for Penny and everybody else.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't – I'm just going to be honest with you. If I'm somebody else's guy, and I've seen these numbers out on Tyreek Smith, you know, somebody else's guy on this team, I don't know what Tyrese Hunter is getting, but I don't know what Kobe Rogers is getting, but if
right.
I'm somebody else's guy and my numbers aren't close and I get in, to a point where I feel like, well, why is this guy getting all this extra treatment in addition to this extra money? And what Boog's doing all this for him, where's mine?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is not a good way in this day and age, it feels like to me. Certainly not a productive way to do business. So, again, I would have appreciated more if we'd never, with, again, all due respect to this gentleman, if we'd never learned about Boog. That's what seems like happens to me. There are always, as to use Penny's phrase, you know, family members, influences, mentors. Those are around programs all over the country.
Yep.
What you don't see is it becoming public like this. Their grievances, their issues becoming public like this, you know, at big-time college basketball programs.
That's exactly right.
Also, those big-time college basketball programs, also, many of them not in the same critical sort of year that Penny Hardaway is, you know, in year seven. And so,
well,
let's get this cleaned up.
I do want to bring, like, I'm glad you brought that up because it actually got me thinking about an old Memphis basketball coach who I think, you know, was the best, who's now coaching in Arkansas, John Calipari. One of the amazing things about John Calipari, maybe his most underrated quality, is that he had all kinds of stuff going on. He had all kinds of stuff going on in his program, all kinds of, you know what I'm saying, BS and drama, and the same exact, maybe not the same exact situation, but the same family of stuff, right? And you never heard about it. You never heard about it. I mean, you'd hear about it, but it never got truly public, right? Unless, like, there was, like, it was a criminal situation. That got public, right? I mean, the Plush Club and Jeremy Hunt and all that. But outside of the police being involved, if it was just, like, one of these situations, Cal never let that story see the light of day. He was great at it. And he was also great at it while allowing everybody to come to practice. Like, that his practices, like, were wide open. You could have taken your grandma to damn practice. I mean, I heard all kinds of stories about John Calipari, but he did a great job.
Yeah, there was an understanding those stories don't hit the paper.
It's exactly right.
It goes with your access.
And to your point, Penny has too many people around his program whispering, talking, and that's probably a function of having too many people around your program just in general, because the more people that are around, the more people are going to talk. That's just the reality of the situation. And when you invite people, again, no disrespect to Boog. He's like a great guy, and he's fighting for his guy and his friend. But like you cannot be inviting people around your program that whose interests don't align with yours, that may have a different motivation, whatever the case may be. And I think that's always been kind of one of the criticisms of Penny's, that he's had so many people that aren't on staff at Memphis, right, that are around the program, you know, and are talking and are putting his business out there. Because, I mean, that's really when this situation escalated, was when Book went to Twitter and started putting all that stuff out there. That's not helpful. That's not helpful for Penny. That puts him in a position, you know, that could have been handled privately on the phone with Penny. You could have gotten all that taken care of.
Oh, yeah, that dude didn't do him any favors whatsoever.
Yeah, like, you could have just called Penny straight.
And here's my issue with Boog. You said this isn't Penny's mess.
Exactly.
So in the least you could do is not go public with it, since it's not his mess, and you think there's a good chance, since it's not his mess, he could get it cleared up. Don't you? Isn't that the decency, the courtesy of not going public with it? That's what I'm saying, and so now you're having to acknowledge, you know, publicly that this is going on. If you're Penny, and you got Boog talking, people listening, you know, that's not a good thing.
Exactly. So I think that's, and again, Penny can't necessarily directly control that. I mean, it's a learned thing, but like that's that's kind of the difference, I think. Like, you know, Cal was a veteran. He had been in the league. He had coached in the NBA. He had coached at UMass. He had been around the block, you know. But this is year seven, man. And I feel like you know this because you said it, and it's true. Drama happens at every college basketball program in America, every single one. I mean, Michigan State's got it right now. Kansas has it right now. Kentucky's got it right now. Everybody's got it right now, but you're not hearing about it because they're keeping it under wraps or doing a good job of keeping everything in-house. And, like, look, sometimes Penny has only had himself to blame for that. Last year, he took it out of house after the South Florida loss, right? He starts saying that we don't like each other, whatever. However he said it. I don't remember exactly how he put it, but he put that out there. Remember before the season, the Amani Bates season, when he said, Amani's coming for these veterans' jobs? unnecessary to say that publicly. Completely unnecessary to say that publicly. You can say that to those guys in house and have the same intended effect. When it goes public, they're going to feel some kind of way about that. So I just feel like a lot of it is just not being able to keep a wrap on bad news that doesn't necessarily, and it almost kind of conflicts with what we do as like media, but you got to have a better way to prevent that from leaking. And there have been too many leaks at Memphis over the years.
Yeah, you know, all this would lead me to a place where, and as you're talking, I sort of came to this thought where Penny's going to have to really look in the mirror and decide sort of, you know, is this worth it to me? Because this will, as you said, always be the nature of things. You will always have fires that you have to put out, and you have to stamp them out completely because that's part of being a big-time college basketball program. And it just doesn't go away because you're Penny Hardaway. You have to put the work in. You have to do everything. And that requires constant John being plugged in. And as you know, Penny has also felt, and I know he's sort of turned over a new leaf and said different things, and I shouldn't have said those things this summer, but we saw a Penny that also told us that I don't have to be doing this.
Yep.
You know, I don't necessarily need this. And so what I'm saying is, when I'm saying Penny's got to ask himself this question, how bad do I really want this? How bad do I want to prove to the city of Memphis that I am the right guy for the job?
Yep.
How bad do I want to prove to myself that I can get this licked? Because if it's bad, right, if you really want to do it, what it requires is snuffing this out, is that Boog doesn't get public, right? That's what it requires, because that can ultimately, forget what we're saying about it, that can mess you up on the inside. And we just saw chemistry ruin a team last year. It's frankly more flammable than ever in terms of the times that you're in because of NIL. You got guys saying, I need more. More than ever, you need that business behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
More than ever, John.
No doubt.
Because you're trying to get, chemistry was already tough to keep together before you had NIL.
Yep.
Now it's even more tough to, again, keep everybody on that same sort of, you know, even keel. And so, again, I say, do you really want this Penny Hardaway? Because this kind of, like you said, these guys are around every program, but this stuff's not getting public. Do you want to stamp out these leaks in your program right now?
Yep.
Because they're not helping you.
Yep.
In terms of the information that's getting out there, it doesn't help your team and, frankly, your job of winning games. Got to keep everybody cool to do that. That's the best way there.
Exactly.
And so I go back to, you were just at a place where you were kind of saying, this might not even be worth it for me.
Yeah.
This thing's, you know, I can do other things. And yes, you've come around and said, no, I got this. And, you know, was just frustrated. But do you, this, John, you got a new athletic director. You got a new boss. This was the time to tighten up. And so I question whether this Penny that says he's turned over this new leaf is really locked in on the things he's going to have to do because this is part of it. And maybe just 100% can't do that because life is so good being Penny Hardaway. And maybe we'll never get there to the 100%, 110, whatever, you know, cliche you want to use, mm-hmm. that it's going to require to tighten this thing, get up where it needs to be. But he's going to have to look at himself in the mirror and ask himself that, because we can say all the words and all the coach speak and everything else, but if you're not putting out these fires on a day-to-day basis, and that's not the way to be in a big-time college basketball program. And forget that. Forget whatever people think of it. It's right. Not the way back to the tournament. It's not good because you don't have good chemistry. Teams are falling apart on you.
Yep.
And so this is a moment of, do I really want this? Because mm-hmm. we were clearly just at a place, and we've been in a place where, you know, even Penny's questioning, y'all don't think I'm doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, y'all, this thing's going to go down when I leave.
Yes.
All right. How bad do you really want it, man? Because all of this comes with it.
Yeah. He kind of did address that a little bit, but, you know, he sounds like he's wanting to do it. And I will say, like, when he brings new hires in, there is a sort of a seminar with, you know, who to talk to and who not to talk to in terms of, you know, the media, like, don't talk to this person, don't talk to that person, don't talk to this person. So it's not the people that he's hiring, clearly. It's the people that he's not got on payroll directly with Memphis. And so, again, that's going to be hard for Penny. It's going to be hard for him. But this stuff is getting out from somebody, you know. And I know that they've...
It'll be a shame, man. It'll be a shame because there was every opportunity of this working well and Memphis getting back to the program. We thought it should be the program that Penny envisioned. It'll be a shame that opportunity was wasted because that's what I would tell you it was wasted. That Penny could have gotten there. We've seen how close, whether it was the Kendrick Davis team or last year's team that was 15-2, number 10 in the country.
Right.
It'll be a shame how close you got
right.
with what clearly was the right guy at the time, but could have been the right guy for the era. It'll be a shame if we get there, you know, and we end this thing in sort of that, you know, that the downward trajectory. Program hero can't get it back to where he thought it would be, because you did. You got really close. But ultimately, it'll be a story of, and we'll see on this Malco thing and everything else, but it'll be, college basketball was a game that, you know, Penny Hardaway thought he was ready for.
Yep.
And here's the key, was equipped to do so.
Absolutely.
Right? In terms of what he brings, cachet, everything else, the NIL, and it was, unfortunately, an opportunity squandered. No, nobody wants to tell that story. Everybody wants to tell the story of Penny getting it back and the full circle and everything else, but, man, all of this is a part of it. And he's got to want it as bad as he says those players have got to want it. He's got to want it that bad, too.
I like it. I like that a lot.
It's work that comes with that.
Let's clip that up. That's a best of right there for the Jason and John show.
No, unnecessary.
I think I have.
No, I want it for him.
I just find myself agreeing with everything you're saying about Memphis basketball today, though. Like, when it comes to the decision to sort of invite certain people that we didn't know existed to a week
ago.
Dude,
I covered Ron Bell.
Right.
I've seen how one guy on the outside, some character, can destroy the whole damn thing. And then we'll turn against you. Like, that's my thing.
He lied on
Penny
Josh.
Telling you. Listen. Boog says Penny didn't make the mess. And yet Boog takes it public and still wants Penny to fix it. Now Boog's saying he's going to help Penny get more NIL. Man, these guys will turn on you just as quick when you're not doing what they want you to do or not doing what, you know, is in the best interest of the player or whoever they're mentoring.
Yep.
That's my point. Ron Bell ended up coming back and killing Josh. Kept the stuff on Markell. He was supposed to be best friend. I'm not saying Boog is Ron Bell, but that's why I'm saying you keep these characters at bay. You keep them at bay.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing?
Yep.
Shouldn't have never learned about Boog.
Should have never learned about Boog, man. I'll respect the Boog.
Nah, Boog's a grown man. Boog is getting more for his guy. But again, we never should have learned about Boog, because there are Boogs at every big time college basketball program, and they stay behind the scenes.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we'll come back. Adam Turnoff going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the NFL slate in Week 8. Rams Vikings tonight. 49ers Cowboys. Bears Commanders. Maybe the sneaky game of the week, at least for my partner, Jaden Daniels, isn't going. We'll talk about that with Adam when we get back. Jason and John, are you trying to defend him? ESPN. Adam Turnoff is a part of the Right Angle Sports team, in charge of all things NFL, joins us every Thursday, and he joins us now. Adam, what's going on, my friend? We are in week 8, almost halfway point.
Almost halfway. Feeling my age as we get into this part of the season. It's not as not as easy as it used to be, but we're rolling along.
How old are you? But can I ask how old you are?
I'm 33 in year 15 of doing this professionally.
That's how old I am.
What?
But I do
33, but in year 15.
Yeah, you're like you're at the end of, like, if you were an NFL player, this would be like your last season.
Yeah, technically it was 17, but there's 2 years in the mid-teens that we don't really want to relive and count. So we've kind of dialed it back to the more official years of doing this.
Got it. Understood. All right. Light week 8 over at Rod Angle Sports, but certainly lots of games to go over. Let's talk about the release that has been sent out. That is, this is going to be our audience, Adam, is going to go absolutely crazy over this one. They're going to run to bed it when they hear it. But
it's hard not to love. What are we talking about?
Carolina, Denver over 41.5. It's out to 43.5, even after the news of Andy Dalton getting in the car accident and it likely being Bryce Young at starter. I imagine there's no world where you would ever tell people to bet it at 43.5. But do you still feel good at 41.5 given the quarterback change?
People should be able to find 41.5, 42 right now. Oh,
okay.
I don't think you're going to see 43.5. So,
so it has come down. 42. Okay, the news.
I'm looking at 41.5.
Okay, I'm outdated. My apologies.
Yeah, if you're opening your sportsbook app as you're listening to this or just after and you see 41.5 or 42, you're clear to bet the over. Now, let's paint the positive side of this and we'll address the news. The positive side is the Carolina Panthers cannot stop the run. The Denver Broncos want to run the football as much as possible. It's going to work, and that's going to mean that Bo Nix is far less impactful than he has been in past games, which means he is not going to be a deterrent to the over. If the Broncos are running, it makes it easier for him. I'm not too worried about the Broncos moving the football. Now, obviously, when we made this bet on Monday morning, we were not anticipating Andy Dalton to have a car accident, sprain his thumb, and be benched for this game in the return of Bryce Young. If we're going behind the scenes a little bit, there was discussion yesterday when the news became official. We're like, do we get off of this? Are we trying to get away from this? Do we bet the under and effectively buy out of the position? Went back and forth. The commentary and the final answer was no, because Andy Dalton has actually been really bad the last couple of weeks, and the reset of the reset is just a handicapping spot that's kind of viewed in a positive way. And so it's tough to paint a super optimistic picture for the Carolina Panthers, but from some of the wisest and most successful bettors, there is sentiment that they think they can do well this week. I'm very close to that. Don't share the same sentiment all the way, but we still like the over. Long story short, we're still holding on. The Broncos will move it. We think the Panthers will be better than expected.
All right, watch party at your house this weekend for that one. Points, points, points. Let's go. Let's go, Bo and Bryce Young.
You remember the Panthers-Saints game last year on Monday Night Football?
Oh, yeah. I remember all your gross bets. Believe me. I remember them all.
This is worse than that, I think. This is that category.
I wouldn't disagree. I mean, obviously, one team is exactly the same. This Denver offense is pretty shaky with Bo Nix, too. But... you know, maybe the Panthers' defense is exactly what it needs. All right, want to turn your attention to tonight, Rams-Vikings. Sounds like we're going to get Cooper Kupp back. Sounds like we're going to get Puka Nacua back. And I think the number has adjusted appropriately based on that news. It's now around Vikings -2.5, -20. I will say this out loud. I made a bet during the show. Rams +3, -20. Am I going to be sad tonight?
Probably not. Now, I don't think Nacua is going to be that much of a factor if he's able to go. It's at least a week before schedule. So I think expecting him to do much is a big leap. Kupp will be back. That will matter. The Rams need to find a way to adjust their protection on the O-line to give Stafford some time to throw against this Vikings pass rush. It's critical they do that because Stafford, in a bizarre manner, really, has been the worst quarterback when pressured this season, which is very uncharacteristic for him. I think getting weapons back will help. I think the familiarity that Sean McVay has with Brian Flores and especially with Kevin O'Connell is a big asset in this game as well on the short week. And so there's a lot of positives here for the Rams. The big question mark is going to be the Rams' defense. They adjusted personnel pre-bye. They've looked a lot better the last 2 weeks. There's a lot of explosive weapons for the Vikings to use downfield. I think that's going to matter. So to me, it's really, for your bet, a question of does the Rams defense continue to improve and continue to get stops? I wouldn't be comfortable backing Minnesota. This is probably the biggest like pros versus average bettors divide of any game we've seen all season. Pros right now love the Rams. I thought the number was a little too short myself.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, looking forward to the Vikings winning 37-10. That's just kind of the run
there is a possibility.
Yes, no question.
I don't know. I may be reaching pro status. I'm the one that actually
inspired. My partner's a pro now.
No, I'm not. I won't claim that, but joking around, I'm the one that I talked John into Rams.
He kind of did. Surprise. He kind of did.
So I'm surprised to hear this, and I'm pleased to hear what you said about the game. I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do it with the assumption, because I'm looking at it now, it looks like Jaden Daniels not going to practice. This was a game that you thought, you know, would be a matchup of the two, you know, Rookie of the Year candidates with the one and the two picks and Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. If Daniels does not go, Adam, Bears right now I'm looking at -3. Do they handle business and move to 5-2 pretty comfortably?
I think even if he was to somehow miraculously recover and go, they would handle business.
Wow.
Quite honestly. I like what they've shown the last 3 weeks.
Yep.
Two games were at home. One game was in London. The offense is coming together. You're seeing tempo. You're seeing the play caller QB connection improving.
Yep.
And the knock on what they've done is that they have faced bad defenses, which is true. But they're facing a really bad defense this week in Washington. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't a step up in class for what they're facing. And the defense has been winning Chicago games. They've been playing great. And against likely what we're seeing as a backup in Marcus Mariota,
yep,
that's a pretty good matchup for them. I think Mariota looked a lot better than he is because he was playing the Panthers last week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with all of that said, Jaquan Brisker, Tyreek Stevenson, and Kyler Gordon, 3 of 4 starters on the back end on the defense for the Bears,
yep,
are uncertain for this game. They need to be in there for the Bears to get the full effort and to be justified to lay this big of a number on the road. So watch the injury report. That's pretty important for this one.
Yeah.
Will do, sir.
Talking to Adam Chernoff, all things NFL for Right Ankle Sports. Again, just one release this week, but this is a winning product, folks. You can check it out, respicks.com. One of the more fascinating games this weekend for me, Adam, and it's one that's really pivotal, it feels like. There's two, so I'll go over both of them. Eagles-Bengals. This opened Bengals -3, now down to Eagles +2.5, even money. What are your concerns about the Eagles in this matchup? What do you make of it?
Concerns about the Eagles in general is that they really haven't been pushed all season. I know they trailed against the Buccaneers, but they were without wide receiver number 1 and 2, and they were without their best offensive lineman. So I kind of have that as a throwaway game. Every other game has been within 5 points for the duration, or the Eagles blowing out an opponent and running it 45 times. And so there's a lot of concerns coming out about the Eagles' offense not changing under Kellen Moore because he's just not allowed to have an influence over it, and it's turning into what it was last year. And I'm curious to see in a game like this against a great Bengals offense, if they're forced to play from behind, does this offense kind of topple over and crumble? Because it's gone well when it's gone well, but when they've been tested a little bit, it looks like it's an offense that's very fragile, on the edge of returning to what we saw last year, which was a disaster at the end of the year. And so that's my big concern with the Eagles. A possible concern for Cincinnati is the last 2 weeks their offense has completely disappeared. For the start of the season, it was Joe Burrow playing at an incredibly high level. And then against the Bengals and the Giants, it's looked a lot different and a lot less explosive and a lot more predictable. What's interesting about this game is both of these two teams have played the same two opponents in the last 2 weeks. And if you look at the closing lines in those games, it tells us that we should be at Bengals -2.5 with a total of 48. And where are we in the market this week? Bengals -2.5 with a total of 48.
Yeah.
And so this is why the NFL can be so difficult to bet. I mean, this is right where it should be. There's not a lot to take away.
Yep.
It's a question of how much of these two teams, both of these two teams have played the last 2 weeks, throttled either their offense or their overall production down because Daniel Jones and Deshaun Watson are inept at quarterback.
Yeah, and then the other one that's going to be pretty big for our season-long win totals is Cowboys 49ers. Now, I'm feeling very good about the Cowboys in terms of the under 10.5, feeling very good about that. I almost think a loss this weekend would pretty much cement it. I don't think it would end it, but I think it would be very close to doing that. However, you're getting a 49ers team who the healthiest receiver is the one that got shot 2 months ago in the chest. So what do you make of the 49ers and their health situation? And even with it, do you think they have enough to beat this Cowboys team that seems to be in disarray?
So I don't have official updates yet on Deebo Samuel or Juwan Jennings. I would expect George Kittle to be good to go. Deebo Samuel had fluid in his lungs. Based on injury doctors that I have messaged back and forth that cover the sport online, that they're estimating that is typically a 2 to 3 week return. And so for him to be back on the field, I think would be pretty surprising. So it's pretty dire for San Francisco with the injuries. The question that I have in this game is, with Dallas having defensive injuries of their own and really struggling to stop the run all season. This game was priced as San Francisco minus 5.5 on a neutral field last week before all the injuries took place for the 49ers in the game against the Chiefs. We are now down to San Francisco minus 4 in San Francisco. So this number is implying about a 4-point downgrade for San Francisco, and it's not stopping yet. Dallas money continues to come in. And so I'm kind of waiting on the sidelines. I'm like, are we going to see 3.5? Are we going to see 3? How low does this go? There's no way I could take the Cowboys in this spot at this short of a number. Even with the Niners' offensive injuries, I don't want to bet San Francisco right now. I'm waiting to see what we get to with this one.
Yeah.
Adam, if I put it to you this way, you know, that final wild card spot in the AFC, and that's me reserving right now, and I could be wrong on Cincinnati and wrong on Pittsburgh, but it's me reserving two of those spots for them. So out of, if I just threw at you Colts, Broncos, who you mentioned, and we looked at, I mean, that defense is real. I'm Jets just because Aaron and the moves they've made. Dolphins coming back with Tua. Out of those sorts of teams, and I may have, you know, Chargers, I guess, at 3-3 would be one of those. If I asked you which one of those teams you'd have the most confidence in of being that final wild card spot, which one would you take?
Oh, boy. Okay. Let's go top to bottom. Chiefs, Texans, Ravens, Bills, they're all making the playoffs. They're all in.
Absolutely.
That's your top four. I would be very surprised if that changes. Those are your division winners.
Yep.
Now, I think the three wild card spot holders right now, Steelers, Colts, and Broncos, I would say two of those are very phony. The Steelers have hit the schedule lottery so far. That is not the case in the second half of the season. I'm shocked that the Broncos have 4 wins with an offense that ranks dead last in the NFL in neutral game state situations. And so I think both of those teams are very phony. The Colts, that's a borderline. You got a great quarterback. You got a great play caller. So we'll leave them in there. I think there's 2 spots open. I think the Bengals, Dolphins, and Jets are 3 teams that still have legitimate opportunities to make a run and to get one of those wild card spots. Yep. I mean, this wild card race for the AFC is really wide open because, to me, the Steelers and Broncos do not belong in that category. And we've got some great quarterbacks on the outside looking in that I think are going to look a lot different over the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Says I'm betting against Mike, leader of men, Tomlin. That's what I'm hearing, right?
He's the leader of men.
That this Russell Wilson thing is not going
to
work.
We want to talk about the schedule here and what it's looked like.
No, you're right.
I mean, it's pretty comical what they faced so far. You have Kirk Cousins and his return on one leg, Bo Nix making his home debut against a great defense. Justin Herbert got hurt.
Yep.
So it was Easton Stick. And against the Colts, they got a backup.
That's true.
Against the Cowboys, there was a nail biter to the end. Then you have the Raiders switching to O'Connell, and then it's Aaron Rodgers, who they trailed nearly by 2 scores at halftime. I mean, it's been as easy as it gets in the schedule, and it certainly changes once we get to mid-November.
Oh, sure will.
All right, last thing before we let you go. Every time I think in the history of this show that I've thrown an award future at you, you've swatted it right back at me. So I'm hoping rest in peace to the great Dikembe Mutombo, we can end that streak. But Josh Allen, regular season MVP plus 525, is burning a hole in my pocket, Adam. I understand that Lamar is on this amazing run. I get it. And he is.
And he beat him.
He beat him, and he's the rightful favorite right now. But I think there could be some voter fatigue. I think the Bills are going to continue to win. How bad a bet is Josh Allen plus 525 right now to win MVP?
I don't think it's terrible. I don't have a great grasp for where that would be, like past seasons and how high or low it is. I know it's on the lower end. To be honest, I have a 9-1 from preseason. So the sentiment of it, I can't disagree with, especially now with Cooper. I mean, Lamar in that Ravens offense is far and away the best in the league, and so that's scary to bet against at the moment.
Right.
But I think of all the futures you've thrown at me, that's probably the best one you've proposed.
The bar was low. I think last year I threw a team to go undefeated at you, And that like in like week seven. And
yeah, I'll take the no on that. Yeah. Every time.
Yeah, which you did, and which you were correct about. How about this year with Chiefs? I dare you to take it now. You won't do it now. Not with DeAndre Hopkins in the fold. You wouldn't dare.
Not happening. No, yeah. It is not.
We wouldn't. We release the Chiefs. The RIS releases the Chiefs every single week. So we certainly don't think they're ever going to lose. Adam, you're the best man. Appreciate
you,
the time
Adam.
Every week. Thank you, brother.
Thanks very much. And let me squeeze in Dolphins -3.5 before I go. My favorite side of the week.
Dolphins 3.5.
Thank you,
Tua's
sir.
Back. No guardian cap. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the game.
Yes, sir. He is Adam Chernoff. So there you go.
He just threw it to you.
Dolphins -3.5. Tyreek Hill, super excited.
Four
I like it.
Free.
I think it's a good pick. I do. Now you're going to see that Dolphins offense look like more of itself than friggin' Snoop Huntley and Tim Boyle.
Unless he goes diving head first into people.
That's right. Hey, real quick, if you are thinking about moving, no matter where it is, make sure you use my friends at Black Tie Moving. They're the best. 316-6196 is the phone number. They're going to handle it like businessmen, right? They're going to show up when they say they're going to show up. They're going to stay on budget. You're going to be so glad you use Black Tie. I've used them twice. Jeffrey Wright has used them. They are the best in Memphis. They treat your stuff like it's their stuff. You're not going to have any damage. They're not going to scratch up your walls. You can focus on everything else, right, besides the actual physical part of the move. But you got to book now. Schedule fills up fast. It's Black Tie Moving. Change and moving in the city of Memphis. Call today. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency, when it comes to moving and selling your house and making sure you get the most money, that's the number one team. That's the number one team in Memphis and the Mid-South. They're expanding, but they've seen every kind of situation that you could imagine. They've seen homes that are sinking, that the foundation is absolutely crumbling, maybe not even meeting code. It's amazing that it didn't sink into the earth itself. They've seen it all. That's the point I'm trying to make here. And they have gotten people out of those situations. You may know them. I don't know. And gotten them into a brand new life of financial freedom and equity and things like that. See, that's what Jennifer and her team do on a daily basis. And they'll do it for you. Reach out, SodaLiveLoveMemphis.com.
Make sure to make that call, 625-5200. Let Jennifer lift you up out of your mess so that you're not sinking, as the situation that John is referring to. That was me, and he tells my story so well. But Jennifer changed my story, and she changed it for the better. She'll change yours as well. 625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Going on right now through this weekend is the huge 47th anniversary sale at Robert Irwin Jewelers. That means you can get 47% off one item in store or buy one, get one. You can buy a 2-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet for only $15.99. Get a pair of half-carat diamond studs for the free. You buy a 5-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet for only $27.99. Okay, big baller. You must have hit your bonus this quarter. You get a pair of 1-carat diamond studs also for the free. And the list goes on. You want to get the 10-carat for $5,000? You get a pair of 2-carat diamond studs for free. This is the RIJ way to celebrate 47 years of making memories happen.
Yep, John got the whole list of deals. It's an even longer list. Go in and see them all for yourself. And, of course, with that engagement ring comes a great list of things as well. Free ring sizing for life. That engagement ring or wedding band is too snug as you get a little older. Never fear. You purchase that ring from Robert Irwin Jewelers. Ring sizing's free for life. You come back and do the diamond trade-up. You can pick out a new diamond if you like and only pay the difference. That's another one of the options. That free spa service for life, too, can get it cleaned up, shined up. Faith doesn't have that because I bought hers from a big box store. Don't be like me. Get yours from Robert Irwin Jewelers. Howie's going to be your jeweler for life and take advantage of this 47th anniversary sales. Not just engagement rings, wedding bands. They got diamond earrings, diamond pendants, gemstone jewelry, gold chains, bracelets, all of it. 5 locations. Robert Irwin Jewelers. They're online at rijewelers.com.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Thanks to Adam Chernoff for joining us today on the show. Yeah, I'll be interested to see how this Thursday night game looks tonight. Like I said, I did bet it just for a unit +3, -20. It's now +2.5, -105.
I'm going to live through you tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate it because you basically feel like you have a bet on it.
Oh, I inspired it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I inspired it, and you put your money on it.
That's right.
I'm going to live through you tonight.
That's a pretty.
I'll be pulling for Stafford and the Rams.
Yeah. Of course, I was on the Raiders. I don't know if I told you that. I think I did tell you I was on the Raiders because Antonio Pierce kicked that field goal down 8.
Right.
What a hero. What a hero.
Some would call him.
A lot of coaches down 8 with 2 minutes left on 4th and goal would have just gone for it.
Right.
They would have just said, hey, we're down 8. We're here.
I think it's most of the league.
You know, but my man Antonio Pierce, my coach, said, let's get points on the board. Let's guarantee some points on the board.
Well, I mean, that scoring offense matters.
100%.
You know, by the end of the season, you look at those numbers, you want to say, look, we did.
That's exactly right. Because now you can say, we only lost by 5. We didn't lose by 8, we lost by 5.
That's right.
There's how much, it's almost impossible to quantify how much more valor there is in losing by 5 as opposed to 8. Because that means you can just score a touchdown and you win the game, right? As opposed to 8, you got to get score the touchdown, you got to get 2 points, and that's just a tie, you know? So Antonio Pierce gets it. He's a gem of a man. I'm going to miss him after this year. I'm really going to miss him after Tom Brady and Richard Seymour and company.
Y'all go hire Mike McCarthy.
I don't know who we're hiring. I really don't. It's like, okay.
Well, Tom will make the decision.
It seems like that is who's going to be making the decision.
And we'll see if he wants to go back to his
old
buddy.
By the way, can't be worse than Mark Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Davis has been diabolical.
I mean, he literally said, I'm bringing this guy in. He's going to help me pick my quarterback.
Yeah. That's awesome.
He said that. He said it's on video.
Let's not limit it to the QB, right?
YouTube short.
I mean, let's pick a coach. Let's pick.
Oh, that's what's clearly the plan. But
what's the GM do?
The whole point is you got to have this guy. I mean, Tom's smart. He didn't want to be here. He wants to be involved and make decisions, but he don't want to be a GM where this guy could fire him,
right?
Or whatever else.
Yeah.
So go get the ownership.
Exactly.
He's gonna run the franchise. It to your point, it might be a good thing.
Oh, I think it's
because
definitely
this guy, Mark Davis. You know, you see where you're headed.
Yeah.
100%. So let him make a decision. Might be better than any GM you could bring in. We'll see.
Well,
I don't know. Michael Jordan wasn't a great evaluator. Some of those GOATs aren't great evaluators like you hoped or expected they would be.
Yeah, he's not only Kwame Brown, he drafted Frank Kaminsky.
Sure did.
You know, I mean, he's never been good as a talent evaluator.
Just because you a GOAT.
Right.
But you may as well see him, and the guy's bought into you. They need his.
Yeah, I mean, again, because the bar is so low with Mark Davis, I don't really care.
Right. And, good chance for improvement. Just
a very
the bar
good chance.
Is so low.
That's exactly right. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, shout out to Antonio Pierce, man. We'll miss him when he's gone. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Adam Chernoff for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and company are up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.